Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining 60 minutes of your day is now underway right here on WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live on the campus of MSU, as Chayo just noted. On WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We got a great show coming right at you. I'm excited to get to, of course, some NBA talk and kind of put in perspective what the Cleveland Cavaliers' comeback in this series against the Boston Celtics in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals means for this series moving forward. And just to give you a preview of my thoughts, I'm not impressed. And I'll explain why, all right? So you don't want to miss that. Also, we'll invite a dear friend of the show to Current Sports. We haven't had him on in a while, but his name is Rich Kincaid. He is an author and Detroit sports broadcaster and also hockey expert who will talk about the NHL playoffs, of course, and, you know, looking at what the Vegas Golden Knights are doing in the NHL playoffs is quite amazing. And Rich has an interesting take. We'll get his thoughts on that. Also, he'll put in perspective what is happening with this whole Miguel Cabrera off-field drama. Does he want to play? Does he want to be in Detroit? Or does he want to go down to Miami? All of the drama with the custody situation that leaked out to the press. Just a lot of drama when it comes to Mickey. And I'm going to ask Rich whether or not this in any way tarnishes the legacy or stains. Tarnishes, I think, is too harsh of a word. Stains the legacy of Miguel Cabrera here in the state of Michigan, in Detroit, a really beloved Detroit Tiger who made history. You know, I mean, we can go on and on about Miggy, but this I will say this away from the field drama has not been great for his image. All right. Also, we broke this news to you all. We brought this news to you all yesterday before we signed off on the air. The whole Matt Patricia situation, you know, when the story came out, you know, again, just weeks after he was announced as head coach of the Detroit Lions, as head coach of the Honolulu Blue, a report came out via the Detroit News that Matt Patricia was actually indicted on a sexual assault charge back in 1996. And that just sent shockwaves throughout the NFL world, so much so that the NFL decided to conduct its own investigation. Well, we've got the latest when it comes to that story. The NFL will not discipline Matt Patricia or the Detroit Lions. You'll get my thoughts on that. And I don't know what in the world Athlon Sports is thinking, but they actually have the Michigan Wolverines ranked in the top five in their latest college football rankings. Can you believe that? Michigan State, you ask, is sitting at 12th. I guess this Shea Patterson hype is real in the eyes of many folks out there, all right? We'll chat about that as well as allow you to be a part of the show. Multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via social media. We have the live stream up and running at facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you already weighing in. I want to give a special shout out real quick to one of our most beloved listeners out there, Ben and Stephanie Grimes. They say that they just commented on our Facebook Live page. They say that we are watching and listening as we shop at Target. How cool is that? So they're walking around Target doing shopping and listening to the hottest sports show in the area. Thanks so much, Ben and Steph. Really appreciate that. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. We've got our man, Connor, behind the glass, tweeting as we speak at our official Twitter page, at WKAR_sports. So, multiple ways in which you can join the fun. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. This is very cool stuff. I wanted to start off the top of the headliners by recognizing and giving mad props to Michigan State University School of Journalism alum Jamel Hill, who has been is being recognized by the National Association of Black Journalists. She has been named as the Journalist of the Year, the annual award recognizing a black journalist who has amassed a distinguished body of work with extraordinary depth, scope, and significance to the people of African descent. Very cool stuff. Jamel noted in a statement, quote, "I am humbled to be honored by an organization whose values not only match my own journalistically, but has tirelessly dedicated itself to developing and nurturing journalists like me. This is the biggest accomplishment of my career." Strong words from Michigan State alum Jamel Hill. Look forward to seeing her at this year's conference. All right. And as you know, we didn't have great weather. I warned you all this time yesterday that we were not going to have great weather throughout the rest of the afternoon yesterday and going into the evening. It rained like cats and dogs. What do you expect? It's the spring season, right? So the opening night of the Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic was postponed due to that rainy forecast. A Monday doubleheader that featured Williamson against Portland St. Pat and Fowler against Fowlerville at Cooley Law School Stadium has been pushed back to tomorrow. The games will be played at Cooley at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Diamond Classic is scheduled to begin today with a doubleheader featuring Mason against Lansing Catholic and DeWitt taking on Powamo Westphalia. So hopefully the weather holds up. I checked my forecast this morning. Just going to be an overcast all day, a bit cloudy outside, but knock on wood, no rain. All right. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football team are headed to South Africa in 2019. How cool is that? Harbaugh said in the past that he plans to coordinate the annual expenses paid trip to a foreign country every year for his team, but had not revealed the next destination to the Wolverines' travel itinerary until Monday morning. The coach said during a radio interview with WTKA AM that his team was planning to visit Johannesburg and Cape Town, along with going on a safari. Now, last month, Michigan returned from a team-wide trip to France, where the players and coaches visited Paris and Normandy. A year ago, the team traveled to Italy in the first of what has become an annual excursion. So U of M football headed to South Africa. And speaking of South Africa, I just read an amazing book. My man Trevor Noah, a comedian for Comedy Central. Fantastic book. He's from South Africa. What a book it was. So that kind of brings me back now. All right. And also, when it comes to college football, I want to let you guys know this news. This may perturb many Michigan State college football fans out there. Get this. According to Athlon Sports, they have U of M ranked as the number 5 team overall coming into the 2018 college football season. Projecting Michigan to finish number 5 might come as a surprise to some, but the Wolverines are poised to rebound in a big way. Coach Jim Harbaugh's team returns 14 starters and received a boost in late April when quarterback Shea Patterson was awarded immediate eligibility. Yeah, this is coming from Athlon Sports. This is what it says about Michigan State. Michigan State may be due for some regression in the luck department after winning 6 games by 10 points or less last season. However, with a loaded depth chart and one of the Big Ten's top quarterbacks and head coaches, the Spartans aren't going to need all of the bounces in their favor to win 10 games once again. So, Michigan State, 12 in this ranking. Penn State at 11. Wisconsin, 9. Ohio State, 4 in those rankings pertaining to Big Ten teams. You better believe I am going to have some thoughts on that one. All right, yesterday, NFL commish Roger Goodell submitted the standards in which legalized betting should take place. Goodell believes that sports betting should be federally regulated instead of it being up to each state's jurisdiction. He stressed that in federally regulating it, it can, quote, protect our content and intellectual property from those who attempt to steal it or misuse it, end quote. He also wanted to ensure that fans have access to official and reliable league data for the betting process. All right, in the NFL, as I noted at the top of the hour, the NFL will not discipline the Detroit Lions, nor will they discipline head coach Matt Patricia after a sexual assault accusation in Texas from 1996, allegedly involving Patricia and a fellow fraternity member, resurfaced earlier this month. I'm going to dive into that in just a moment. Also, the Detroit Tigers have now lost 4 straight. The Tigers lost Monday's series opener to the Minnesota Twins 4-2. After the bullpen faltered again, reliever Daniel Strump, he allowed 2 earned runs, including the eventual winning run in the 8th. The Tigers have lost 4 straight, are now 3 games behind Cleveland for the division lead. In the NHL playoffs, Tampa Bay Lightning took an L, 3-0, the final against the Washington Capitals. That one is now going to go to a game 7. The Capitals took the BG's advice of staying alive. I like that. Whoever wrote that in my script, mad props. And forced a game 7 in this instant classic series. TJ Oshie notched 2 goals, including the game ceiling empty net goal. So now, again, the Caps have an 8-2 away record coming into game 7 in Tampa Bay tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We also have a snippet for you.
Backstrom, Kuznetsov, back up to Backstrom. Backstrom gets it in front, scores! Oshie!
Again, that was the first goal of the game by TJ Oshie as the Washington Capitals, a 3-0 shutout against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nothing like, those are the 2 best words in sports, right? Game 7, can't beat that. And also in NBA playoffs action last night, we saw the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James top the Boston Celtics 111-102. LeBron led the game with 44 points, with the next leading scorer being Jaylen Brown on the court for Boston with 25 points. LeBron passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most baskets in postseason history. With the loss, the Celtics are now 1-6 on the road this postseason, with the only road win coming against Philly. And in my opinion, what was a play of the game, Kevin Love's full court pass. It looked like, you know, looked like a play drawn up like a Hail Mary on the football field. Kevin Love's full court pass to LeBron James as 2 green jerseys were flanking him. Check it out.
Smart from outside. That won't go. Kevin Love the rebound. Throws it down to James, catches in traffic and banks it home. What a pass and what a catch.
Yeah, that was pretty sexy last night. A lot of people forget that LeBron James actually played wide receiver on the football gridiron back in high school. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's keep it pushing.
Thank you. like I said before, you know, I've interviewed for a lot of jobs. And again, interviewing for jobs in engineering right after the situation happened, it was never brought, it was never an issue. It was never came up as a anything because it was dismissed and I was innocent. So it just has never been part of any process that I've been involved with before. Again, I'm, you know, as far as the interview process is concerned, I mean, there was nothing that, and Rod had spoke to it earlier about the process, there was nothing that I did not answer truthfully. I'm a husband and a father to a wonderful and amazing family. I try to share those same values with them. I am so thankful to my wife and my family for being supportive of me. I believe and have always acted with a respect for all people, knowing that everyone is someone's dad, mom, sister, brother, son, or daughter. I do not condone any of the type of behavior that has been alleged, and I never have. I have always been someone who respects and protects the rights of anyone who has been harassed or is the victim of violence, and we as an organization will continue to operate that way.
Matt Patricia, earlier this week, this is a snippet from his press conference that he had to hold due to news being broken by the Detroit News that Matt Patricia was indicted on a sexual assault charge back in 1996. Well, as I just noted in our headliners, the NFL determined that neither the Detroit Lions nor Matt Patricia will be subject to any discipline in regard to that previous sexual assault allegation against the Detroit coach. League spokesman Brian McCarthy put out a statement saying that the Lions were not at fault for not learning about Patricia's 1996 arrest during the interview process, and that Patricia would not be disciplined for not letting his arrest be known to the club. So I don't know about you guys. I'm not surprised about, you know, this outcome. You know, I don't know how the NFL could have handed down any kind of disciplinary action if Matt Patricia, one, during the time of this incident, it happened in his 20s back in 1996, he was not a coach in the National Football League. And two, again, he was never charged. Well, he was never convicted, I should say. Never convicted of anything here. Never found guilty of anything. You know, and again, you know, I always bring this up in the court of public opinion. You guys may find something wrong with this situation. But again, bottom line, when it comes to the law here in America, when it comes to how we operate, you are innocent until proven guilty in the court of law, not public opinion. So I'm not surprised here. Also, as I noted when this story came out, it is not Matt Patricia's job during the interview process to say, hold on, pump the brakes, guys. Before you hire me, we'll let you guys know about, you know, maybe this red flag in my history back in 96. I was never convicted of anything, but this is a situation that did happen. You know, I was indicted on a sexual assault allegation. Not his job. Not his job whatsoever. And during the interview process, at least when it comes to the NFL organization, teams aren't obligated to make sure that they ask you about that kind of history. So, at the end of the day, Matt Patricia and the Lions are not going to be punished here. I think this is the right move. And what I've said about the situation, the only problem that I have with this whole story is I don't care if it's not standard protocol when it comes to the league's process of interviewing for coaching positions or any position for that matter in the NFL. That's just a standard thing to do, right? To check the history
of a potential employee for your organization. You're supposed to know that kind of stuff. If that's especially the head coach of your organization, my opinion, you're supposed to know something like that. And again, the Detroit Lions aren't the only NFL team at fault here. Heck, Matt Patricia, while at the New England Patriots, the Patriots didn't know this at all either. So there you have that. I don't know where else to go with that, you know. Again, this is coming from Brian McCarthy, league spokesman, quote, "Our office reviewed the matter with the Lions and Mr. Patricia and ensured the club engaged in appropriate and thorough hiring practices and that the coach did not mislead the team during the interview process." So the situation is not subject to the personal conduct policy, as the allegations occurred well before Patricia's affiliation with the NFL, as I just noted. Again, he was not a coach in the National Football League. He was not employed by the National Football League. So it's the right move. You know, I do believe, though, a lot of Detroit Lions fans are looking at this and you know, I think there's going to be some protests maybe. You know, you may see some signs at games because, again, this is 2018. The Me Too campaign is huge right now. Any kind of talk of sexual assault, even if you're just suspected, never been, again, like Patricia, never been convicted of it, even if your name is in that conversation, it's a bad look. It's a bad look from a PR perspective. So I asked this question to our listeners. As the season moves on for the Detroit Lions, do you think fans will just kind of forget about this and move on? Or do you think this will linger throughout the season? That is what I want to know. Will this linger throughout the season in Matt Patricia's first year as head coach of the Detroit Lions? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Engineer Ian Hawley, I'm curious to get your thoughts on that question. Is this something that will linger, or will Detroit Lions fans forget about this?
With the press, it'll probably linger a little while longer, but I'm sure some Lions fans are thinking to themselves, okay, well, the NFL's not even going to do anything about it. It must not be that big a deal, right? I mean, if there's going to be no repercussions from the organization in question that was hiring him, then why should fans be so concerned about it, you know? So I think eventually it will blow over. I give it another month or two, maybe up until the start of the season even. But I think by the time that actual football games are being played, this will be in the back of fans' minds.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, at the end of the day, again, he was never found guilty of anything. It's his first year. The Detroit Lions, you know, when you look at the Detroit Lions organization, they don't need a distraction like that. I mean, my goodness, in the first season under a new regime and Matt Patricia. So, you know, but I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it's constantly brought up. You know, I'm curious to see how broadcasters, when, you know, the broadcast teams who broadcast the Detroit Lions games, how they will handle it. If it's going to be a recurring topic of discussion throughout a Detroit Lions broadcast, we'll see. We'll see. But at the end of the day, I think this is the right move from the National Football League. Again, it's not Matt Patricia's job to bring up that. If you don't find it, hey, you know, again, I was never found guilty of anything. So if you don't find it, whatever, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving here. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's transition now to the NBA before we bring on Mr. Rich Kincaid, author, hockey aficionado, and Detroit sports broadcaster. I'm going to dive into multiple areas when it comes to what's happening in the world of sports with Rich. But first, I want to talk about the Cavs tying this series with the Boston Celtics. This is what the Cavs were supposed to do. This is what any team is supposed to do when you're talking about the playoff realm, right? Take care of home. All right? Take care of home. That's what the Cleveland Cavaliers did here. When it came to that 30-point blowout loss over the weekend on Saturday, you know, I don't know what that was. I think that the Cavs just kind of melted in. You know, as I've noted, I thought they got a bit complacent. They weren't hungry. That physical play that we saw in the first two games, that went away. And I must say, though, Tyronn Lue and the Cleveland Cavaliers have seemed to match the physicality that a typical Brad Stevens team brings to the table. A lot of people forget, you know, when Brad Stevens was head coach in the college basketball world at Butler, what was Butler's identity? They were known for being a physical team, that if you did not match them physically, you were going to get bullied. And that's what we saw in those first two games when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics series. Cleveland kind of figured that out. We saw it really pay dividends in game three. And now in game four, you know, we see the Cavs able to win that game and tie things. And now we head to Boston. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, this is just a 9-point loss for the Celtics. And what amazed me, because there was a point where, you know, Boston in the second half, they were down by as many as 19 in this game. And I'm watching this game and saying, all right, well, let's see if they can come back. I was just curious to see if the Cavs are going to stomp on the throat and keep ballooning the lead like what much we saw in game three, or if they were going to open the door and the Celtics were going to figure something out and maybe chip away at that lead and make this thing a game. And that's exactly what happened. The Celtics were able to figure some things out. You know, we finally saw Marcus Smart, who shot horribly in that game. That was what really surprised me. Marcus Smart, his production offensively, you know, when you look at those first two games of the series. Now, again, Marcus Smart is not a guard who's going to light up the scoring column. Marcus Smart is one of those, you know, premier role players for this Boston Celtics team, who is one of the best defenders on the team, but he can give you a good, 12 to 15 points on a given night. But his shooting these last two games has not been great whatsoever. I'm looking for Marcus Smart right now, and you could just see there was a point there when he was benched by Brad Stevens, and he looked incredibly frustrated on the sideline. But he was able to still come in, do some things defensively for this team, but he wasn't great. And there was a lot of sloppy play as well from the Boston Celtics in that second half in particular. You look at Marcus Smart coming off the bench, only 8 points for him. He was 2 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 7 at one point as well. He played 31 minutes. So if you're playing Marcus Smart 31 minutes and you're getting only 8 points out of him, that's tough. That's tough. You got to look at other players, you know, maybe like an Aaron Baines, who wasn't great either. I mean, just eight points for Aaron Baines. He only took 3 shots, though. And then also another stat that really stood out last weekend on Saturday was Al Horford only taking 4 shots throughout the entire game in game three. I couldn't believe that. You know, Al Horford, this is the anchor of this team. This is the leader of this team. In many ways, I think he's the X factor for this Boston Celtics team. That player only having, 4 shot attempts, that had to change. And we saw that completely change here in game four, as Al Horford from the jump was very aggressive. He took 13 shots. He wasn't great, though, from the floor. 5 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 3 from three-point land. He had 15 points. Jaylen Brown got off to a slow start, but he was relatively efficient. He missed, I mean, we saw Jaylen Brown missing dunks. I think Jaylen Brown missed like 2 dunks in that game. Multiple missed layups by the Boston Celtics, just mentally. And that's the thing, though. When you look at the Celtics, they are a relatively young team. Playing on the road in the playoffs is new to them. They aren't comfortable in winning games on the road. We have seen that throughout this year's playoffs with Boston. But when they are at home, they're undefeated at home. 9-0 at home in Boston. That is one of the hallmarks of a young, inexperienced team in the NBA playoffs. That playoff atmosphere on the road can be a bit intimidating. But when you're in the friendly confines of your crib, when you're at the crib, you feel great. Your fans are rooting for you. We all know how crazy that atmosphere is at TD Garden. You feel incredibly comfortable, and you can roll. And that's what the Boston Celtics have done. They have an opportunity here, and I'm curious to see if Cleveland can steal one of the next two here, because the next two are now in Boston. And the Celtics have not lost at home in Boston. That's going to be the key here. And now, finally, LeBron James is getting some help. He's been absolutely brilliant throughout these years' playoffs. He was, brilliant again in game four, 44 points. He was 17 of 28 from the floor. And then he got help, who's really the key for me in this game, was Kyle Korver, coming off the bench, going 4 of 7 from the floor for 14 points. He was absolutely fantastic in this game in key moments, really stymieing any kind of Boston Celtics comeback in this game. But when I look at this, you know, it's another thing. And you better believe the conversation is going to change here when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm still going with Boston to close this series out in Boston. I think Boston is still going to win this series. But even if it was the Cavs, moving on, even if I did believe the Cleveland Cavaliers were going to move on again for what would be LeBron James's, you know, eighth straight NBA Finals appearance, anybody watching that game last night was probably thinking to themselves, this series really doesn't matter. Because when I look at the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Boston Celtics are going to be great, especially when they get Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back next season. And that may spark, what, a 10-year dynasty in the East. Who knows? They are the team of the future in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Boston and Philly are going to be going at it for years. But when you look at the Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers, nobody is realistically looking at this series and saying, that team has a shot against the Golden State Warriors in the finals. You know, I reiterate what I stated on yesterday's Current Sports. I think right now, this could probably just give a trophy to the Golden State Warriors right now. Because the Celtics have some inconsistencies. They're not great on the road. If you want to compete with the Golden State Warriors on that stage, the creme de la creme of the basketball world, the NBA Finals, you got to at least be able to win, you know, a game or two on the road. And we all know it's tough to win at Oracle Arena. Oracle. It is insane. That atmosphere is one of the best atmospheres in the game of basketball. I love Oracle Arena. It's tough to win there. You know what's so amazing to me? A lot of people may not know this. Kevin Durant, since he has put on a Golden State jersey, he has never lost at Oracle Arena since he has been a member of the Warriors playing in the postseason. He has never lost a playoff game there. Never. He's something crazy like 15-0. Nuts. So I don't think whoever comes out the East, I'm going with the Celtics, but even if it was the Cavs, neither one of these teams have a shot at beating the Golden State Warriors at that stage. I'm just keeping it real, folks. Nobody realistically believes that the Celtics or the Cavs can beat the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series. It's a big reason why, you know, I look at LeBron James and he has been, again, 8 straight NBA Finals appearances. If 7 straight already is unreal. Unreal, right? But at the same time, LeBron James is a smart man, and he has been able to stay in the NBA's Eastern Conference throughout the majority of his, throughout the entirety, I should say, of his NBA basketball career. He's a smart man, all right? You know, that's why I believe when LeBron chucks up the deuces to the city of Cleveland, he's not going to go to the West. He's not going to go to the West because LeBron James knows that, you know, his bread is buttered in the NBA's Eastern Conference. He wouldn't dare go to the West, where he has to go against much better competition on a weekly basis. He's a smart man. He's been able to stay in the East, where the competition is very lowly in comparison to the Western Conference, and he can just skip into the NBA Finals for the most part. So again, even though, you know, 7 straight NBA Finals appearances, that is remarkable. Remarkable. Great feat, LeBron. But you also got to know that the NBA's Eastern Conference has been trash. Complete trash and garbage for a long, long time. A long time. And when you're a player of the caliber of LeBron James, where he's a plug-and-play guy, you put LeBron James on basically any team. I truly believe this. I think LeBron is so good, you can plug-and-play him on any team in the NBA, and you got a real good shot at making the NBA playoffs. LeBron James is that good. His supporting cast is just up and down like a roller coaster on any given night. So, you know, again, when he's picking his team, I think he's going to, you know, take the Floyd Mayweather route. You know, this is what I always said about Floyd Mayweather. Remarkable, right? Never lost in his professional career. But Floyd Mayweather has been very smart throughout his career, was, because he's retired now, quote unquote retired now, right? Floyd Mayweather was incredibly smart in picking his fights. Incredibly smart. He'll start the discussion with a fighter who may be in his prime at the time. That fighter may be in his prime at the time. And then what'll Floyd do? You know, he'll wait. The money ain't right. Years go by. That fighter has had a few fights, maybe lost one of those fights, maybe split some of those fights. Then all of a sudden, that fighter is no longer in his prime. He's on the back end of his career. Then Floyd says, all right, I'm ready to fight you. Now that you're on the back end of your career. He's very smart. He was very strategic throughout his fighting career. LeBron James is the same. He is too smart to go out to the West. You better believe that LeBron James, when he decides to leave Cleveland, he is not going to go to the NBA's Western Conference. That would be suicide for his NBA Finals career. To try and get another ring, that would be suicide. Why? Why would you do that? Stay in the East where you have dominated throughout your career. Wouldn't make sense, because if you want to go to the Finals out in the West,
you may have to join the Golden State Warriors, brother. And they ain't got no room for you cap-wise. The moolah ain't there for you. So that's my thoughts on it. I don't see Cleveland winning this series because their role players just have been up and down. I don't trust Cleveland's role players, especially out in Boston. So we'll see. What are your thoughts on this series as Cleveland has now tied things at two games apiece? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with author and Detroit sports broadcaster, also hockey aficionado, my man Rich Kincaid. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Segment A just wrapped up. It's in the books as we briefly talked about the Matt Patricia situation and, you know, concerning the NFL. The NFL deciding to investigate the report from the Detroit News that Matt Patricia was indicted on sexual assault allegations back in 1996. And the NFL clearing Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions, basically saying, let's move forward here. We see no wrongdoing when it comes to the process of evaluating how Matt Patricia was hired. Let's move on here. It's in the past. There we have that. You got my thoughts on that. Again, I think it was the right move. Matt Patricia was never charged with anything. And the question that I have for you all is this a story that will linger throughout the season for the Detroit Lions? How will fans receive this? Is this conversation and this story going to go out the window once the Detroit Lions season begins? That's the question I have for you guys out there. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We also just hit on, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers tying things up against the Boston Celtics in Game 4 last night. Series tied 2-2. And we now head back to Boston. I want to start now with our guest for today's Current Sports by talking about the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers lost Monday's series opener to the Minnesota Twins 4-2 after the bullpen just couldn't get it done again, faltering again. Reliever Daniel Strumpf allowed two earned runs, including the eventual winning run in the eighth inning. The Tigers have lost four straight, are now three games behind Cleveland for the division lead. The Tigers sitting at 20-27 overall. The Twins above the Tigers at 20-23. And then again, you have the Cleveland Indians sitting at 22-23 overall. Right now, to talk about the Tigers and so much more, because I definitely want to get his thoughts, of course, on the NHL Stanley Cup Finals as well. His name is Rich Kincaid. You guys know him. He's an author and Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Al, I need better walk-up music. You know, I was enjoying that smooth tune coming out of break there, but I just need to, it'd be better for me if I could get a little more pumped up. So I'm thinking, like, next time, if there is one.
Yeah, for sure. We could definitely do that.
I'll go segment with you. I know I'm hanging by a thread here, but I'll take all the way up next time if I can.
All the way? You just impressed the heck out of me, Rich. You know that song, All the Way Up? Who is that? Is that Fresh Montana?
Yeah, DJ Khaled, I believe, too.
Exactly. Look at Rich Kincaid educating us on his music.
I will write that down, sir.
Yes,
I will have that planned for you for next time.
Next time we have you on, we are going to play and queue up All the Way Up just for Rich Kincaid. That is absolutely hilarious. I didn't know you were a hip-hop guy, Rich. You shock me every time we have you on, my friend. So I want to start with the Tigers, though, my man. Yeah. You know, you just heard me talk about the series opening loss to the Minnesota Twins. They have lost four straight. And I'm curious to get your thoughts as well on this whole Miguel Cabrera drama that has been unfolding away from the field. You know, I saw earlier this week that Miguel has come out and said that he was joking with ex-Marlins president on leaving the Tigers. You know, that you know, it's just so interesting because, you know, you also had that story and then the story about the whole custody battle that got out to the press. And, you know, he's injured as well, so that's not helping things either. Is the perception of Miguel Cabrera changing when it comes to Detroit Tiger fans?
I hope not, because I think this whole deal with David Sampson is, what's the word, crock. Mm-hmm. Okay? David Sampson was the son-in-law of Jim Loria, the owner of the Marlins, who fleeced that town in what might be the worst, you know, have the government pay for you, have the local citizens pay for your stadium scam in the history of American sports. And all that happened was, of course, they knew one another from Miguel's time as a Marlin, and I'm 100% sure that what Miguel said he said, which is that he was joking, is exactly what happened. You see a guy you haven't seen in a year or two or whatever, and he says, gosh, we'd love to have you back in town, you know, and you respond in a friendly fashion, love to be back, you know, kind of thing. I'm sure Cabrera was joking. I think this is just gotten way blown out of proportion. I've seen zero indication ever that Miguel Cabrera is anything but loyal to the Detroit Tigers, and the same way any player is loyal to the team whose uniform he's wearing, you know, that given season. It's not the kind of loyalty you had when I was a kid growing up and Al Kaline was a Tiger for life. Of course, we don't have that anymore, and we haven't for decades. But, no, there's no question in my mind about Miguel Cabrera's loyalty. I'm not concerned about that in the least. And this whole thing about him being hurt, I think he's actually taking a wise tack. He's older now. Let's make sure we're healed before we get back in the lineup and re-injure ourselves and have to miss more time.
Yeah, and Cabrera, he responded to those comments on Friday through a team spokesman saying, quote, I was joking with him, and he knows that. I am focused on getting back out on the field and helping my team here win. That is my focus. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the you know, how many more years we have left to watch Miguel Cabrera. How many more years will Miggy play, you think, Rich? And also, will he end his career with the old English D on his jersey? Oh, do we have Rich? Rich, is Rich there? Rich, I think we lost him. Live radio, baby, it happens. But, you know, I'm always curious when having this discussion with folks because Miguel Cabrera, again, I can't remember the last season where he was 100% healthy. And, you know, with all this off-the-field drama happening left and right, maybe the Detroit Tiger fandom is wearing a bit thin when evaluating Miguel Cabrera. Because I tell you what, I've had, you know, many conversations with Detroit Tigers fans out there. One, with this being a rebuild year, you know, looking where the Detroit Tigers were, you know, just a couple of seasons ago, you know, having a roster that many felt could compete for a World Series and not getting the job done. And now we, you know, the Detroit Tigers basically sell off the team last season, have a bunch of new parts, a lot of names you haven't heard of before. And now you look at a superstar and Miguel Cabrera at one point, you know, now being injured all the time, can't have a healthy season. The Detroit Tiger fan base, I think, is wearing a bit thin here. And so I'm getting thumbs up from Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass right now, that we do have Rich back. Rich, I don't know if you heard my last question to you, but I just wanted to know, how many years do you think we have to see Miguel Cabrera play? And also, will he end his career in a Detroit Tigers jersey?
I bet he does, simply because of the amount of money he's making per annum. You would think a guy like this, he might be in a Jim Thome situation where he gets to the tail end of his career, and he gets dealt to a team at the trade deadline that's looking for a slugger for the stretch drive. But, boy, I mean, when you're talking about a guy who's bringing in his kind of dollars, and I believe he's north of $30 million a year, I think it's unlikely that he would be traded in that sort of a scenario, so I think it's entirely likely that he finishes here in Detroit. I just hope he doesn't – well, I was going to say, I guess I just hope he doesn't finish like Victor Martinez, because it's been kind of a struggle watching Victor, who's in the last year of his contract. It's been a bit of a struggle watching him play. There was a game last week, the last game before the Seattle series, where I'm looking at the starting lineup, and by batting average, the worst hitter in the Detroit lineup was Victor Martinez, who was hitting at the time something like 210, 215 kind of deal. And it's, you know, for a guy who we all saw in his prime, it's hard to watch right now. Although he's hit a couple of dingers here of late, and maybe he's turning the corner of that. You know what I really like?
Who's
and a
that?
Guy who might well get traded is Jose Iglesias. He's my Tiger now. He's gotten his batting average from 200 to he's pretty close to 260 now. And you know, he's one of the best fielding shortstops in the league. There's a guy that we might be seeing the last of.
Yeah, and you know, I think the Tigers are in a situation right now where, again, they're in this rebuild mode. So anybody who, you know, is really showing some promise, like a Jose Iglesias, maybe put on the market, and the Detroit Tigers are going to try and, you know, strike while the iron is hot and maybe,
right,
you know, get something for him. Right, Rich?
Oh, absolutely. And then, although the team overall, Al, we were talking about this honor just before opening day, and all the prediction were that the Tigers were going to lose 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking they're playing better than that. They don't look like a 100 loss team. But that, at the same token, with this 4-game losing streak, that has dropped their win percentage to 426. So you multiply carry that out over a 162 game schedule. They're on pace to lose 92, which is not that far from 100. But boy, what kills you. I mean, they should have won 3 out of 4 against Seattle, right? They had the 2-0 lead on Sunday that they blew in the ninth inning. What was it, a 5-0 lead on Saturday night? Friday night, rather, that they coughed up and let get away. They just as easily could have won 3 out of 4 as lose 3 out of 4 in that particular season. And what makes it especially difficult, of course, is the fact that the division leaders, Cleveland,
mm-hmm,
who we all thought were going to be one of the better teams in the American League, they're sub 500, and they've got that 1-game lead over Minnesota. When the division leader is at or below 500, yeah, I mean, that gives you a legitimate shot of winning the division. So it's disappointing to even see Detroit 3 games out in this current scenario.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the AL Central is just bad right now, Rich.
For years, I would argue the contention that the American League Central was a bad division. They'd always say, well, yeah, Detroit's won 3 in a row, but it's a bad division. But there was a stretch there when it was either Detroit or Kansas City making it to the World Series, you know, on a more or less regular basis, or at least, winning the wild card and that sort of thing. But this year, it's true. This is a bad division.
Francisco Liriano, we saw him flirt with a no-hitter, and then the Tiger bullpen blows it yet again. I'm seeing his name floating around a lot when it comes to MLB trade rumors. Do you think he'll be shipped somewhere pretty soon here?
He'll certainly have value. I think it's like, it's hard to say, but it seems to me that the closer you get to the trade deadline, and I'm sorry off the top of my head, I don't know when that is, but I think when you get into that late July, at post-All-Star game, late July, early August time frame, that's when things really heat up. You do have situations, though, like the Dodgers losing their shortstop for the season with a torn ligament situation, where a need will crop up, and you might have a team like the Dodgers have an interest in Jose Iglesias, but then again, you may have the Dodgers. And to me, this is as big a story in baseball as there is this season, will be the fact that the Dodgers, who last year, you'll recall, into late August were flirting with a chance of having the best record, most wins in a season in Major League Baseball history, and you look at them right now, and their record is comparable to Detroit's, and I'm trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, that's pretty puzzling as well. And again, that trade deadline date is July 31st, Rich.
But there you go.
So I want to talk some hockey with you. Now, I know you're a big hockey guy, and you know we hit on this yesterday. I was in studio here with our current sports production assistant, Jack Kerwin, and he's a big hockey guy, and we were kind of just talking about the history that is being made right now with the Vegas Golden Knights, you know, being an expansion team now in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's an incredible story. How have they been able to do it in your estimation, Rich?
No idea. I know that's a bad answer, but it's an honest answer. Jonathan Marchessault, I believe, I think he scored 40 in the regular season. I think his previous best was 8. Okay, so something has brought these guys together and molded them into a team. They, unlike other expansion teams, they were given a legitimate shot. I mean, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars for their franchise fee, and in exchange for that, the NHL, for the first time, gave an expansion team a shot at a legitimate roster. I mean, they picked up Marc-Andre Fleury in the expansion draft and a bunch of other guys, but they were guys that, I'll tell you what, you got to give a whole lot of credit to George McPhee for assembling that roster, because he's got a lot of pieces that obviously work pretty well together. I keep saying to myself, they're not for real, they're going to lose. I think I'm going to stop saying that at this point, and I'm just going to go back to wishing I'd put $10 on them at the start of the year when they were 500 to want to win the Stanley Cup. It'll be interesting, though. Jerry Gallant, right, head coach of the Vegas Knights, yep, former Detroit Red Wings player. And the best story I heard all year, Al, was you recall season before last, Gallant was fired in midseason by the Florida Panthers. And I was talking to a person who was sitting next to Florida's GM the day, I believe it was a matinee game, so it was the day that Jerry Gallant got fired. And in that hockey game, Florida had a 3-1 lead, but then they cough up the lead, and they're trailing in the third period, and the GM's phone rings, and it's the owner on the other end of the line. He says, fire him. Fire Gallant. And,
really?
And the GM, Tom Lowe, says, no, it's not his fault. And the owner says, fire him or I'm going to fire you. And so that's how Jerry Gallant got fired. I just thought that was, you know, just a heck of an exchange between an owner and his general manager while a game's going on. And then, you recall, then they took Jerry's stuff, Gallant's stuff off the bus and let it sitting at the curb while he was waiting for a cab to come pick him up. It was awful.
Right,
but he was available. And I was thinking, when he got fired, I'm thinking, you know, the Wings could do worse than to pick him up and bring him into Detroit to coach. I mean, I know it would be tough on Jeff Blashill, but it brought to mind Les Moss, who was managing the Tigers when Sparky Anderson became available back in 1979. And the Tigers had to say, you know, when a guy like Sparky Anderson is available and you got a chance to grab him, you do. When they had to tell poor Les Moss, it's nothing you did, we're sorry, it's just that this guy's available and we're going to bring him in. I thought the Red Wings might have been well served to have done to have followed that model.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, and now he's having immense success in his first season coaching the Vegas Golden Knights. And again, you talk about those odds, right? Vegas is slated right now to lose a lot of money if the Golden Knights do win. I mean, odds of 500-1. You said you wish you would have put $10 on it back before the season began, Rich. If you did, that would be a payday of $5,000 for a Vegas victory. Amazing.
Exactly. And you just know there were people out in Vegas that took that flyer. So, yeah, there's going to be there will be some big payouts on this particular bet. But the best thing so far about the Vegas Knights, and I hope you've seen some of their pregame shows.
You know, Jack was telling me about this yesterday. Yeah, it's like a Vegas show before the game.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's the best. It's just so over the top. It's just Vegas. The other night before Winnipeg, it's the Winnipeg Jets, of course. So they superimposed a picture of a jet at one end of the ice, and they made the ice look like a runway. And then on the ice is a character called the Vegas Knight. He's dressed up in all this knight, you know, costume and the sword and the whole deal.
Right.
And the jet takes off at one end of the rink and crashes into the boards and explodes at the other end of the rink. And it was just you just had to laugh out loud. You should definitely YouTube that stuff because it's beautiful.
I'm definitely going to do that. Again, Jack told me about that yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, it's always a show before the show on ice,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So Rich, when you look at what's happening in the other series, again, the Washington Capitals have evened things up against the Tampa Bay Lightning there. It's going to be a Game 7. Who do you think Vegas will play in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, it's interesting because if Tampa wins, it'll be Jerry Gallant against Steve Yzerman, the former Red Wings Hall of Famer.
A lot of Red Wings ties, right? Yeah.
At Tampa, so you'd love to see that. Alex Ovechkin, you'd love to see him in a Stanley Cup final. And I'm guessing that this thing, you can't predict it. It's one game. It's straight out. It's flat out 50-50. It'll probably go to overtime. I hope it does.
I really hope so, too. I mean, those are the two best words in the world of sports, Game 7. And final thoughts before we get you out of here, Rich. You know, I teased this story. I've been teasing this story since the top of the hour. We brought it to our listeners during our quick hit headliners. But Athlon Sports right now is projecting Michigan to finish number 5 in this upcoming college football season. It's sparking a lot of conversation, especially here in the East Lansing area, as you can imagine, seeing as though on that list, Michigan State is projected to finish number 12. Again, this is according to Athlon Sports. Why is the Michigan college football hype train so loud and in many ways obnoxious to so many Spartan fans right now?
Because when you hype Michigan, you hype college football in general, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, where's Ohio State ranked on that list?
Ohio State is ranked number 4 on that list, so right ahead of Michigan.
Yeah, so you're gonna see the big programs like that. I think it's nice that Michigan State gets a note at 12. But if you ever want to get a surly response, if you ever want to get the guy mad at you, ask Mark D'Antonio about preseason rankings.
Oh, he hates
and he'll,
it.
He'll kind of in his Mark D'Antonio way will bite your head off. So I try to avoid that kind of thing. And actually, I accept his premise that they are absolutely they're meaningless. They're there to promote interest in the upcoming college football, and more power to all of that. But until we start playing football games, 2 years ago, nobody thought Michigan State was going to be 3 and whatever they were. I mean, right. They were supposed to be a pretty good football team. And then last year, they were supposed to be not a very good football team, but they were a pretty good football team. They were a very good football team last year.
Yeah.
So we don't know till they start playing. It's nice to talk about, though. I'm always excited about college football, and I'm even now ready for the season to begin.
I can't wait. Well, I tell you what, we've enjoyed having you. Rich Kincaid, he always brings the heat. And again, Rich, we'll make sure to have All the Way Up cute as your walk-up music next time. That sound good?
Yeah, you know my favorite thing about college football?
What's that?
Seeing you in the press box at Spartan Stadium, pal.
Oh, it's always good seeing you, my friend. I can't wait. I wish we could fast-forward time. Enjoy the summer, though. And we're going to try to have you back throughout the summer as well, Rich. But always a pleasure seeing you and chatting with you, my man. Have a great Tuesday afternoon.
You too. Thanks, Al.
The great Rich Kincaid, author and Detroit sports broadcaster. I tell you what, Rich, man, he's got stories for days, Ian. I always love having him on the show.
Yeah, always a great guest to have on the show. It's nice when you don't have to do most of the talking by yourself, when your guest will actually, you know, reciprocate something for you.
Rich can just go, man. I
can run the show by himself.
Rich. I have had interviews with Rich where I just ask him, you know, one or two questions. He just, you know, boom, just goes. So he's a wealth of knowledge. All right, well, we have 2 minutes left here in the hour. Man, I really wanted to dive into this discussion. You heard Rich, you know, his thoughts on Michigan being ranked that high when it comes to the Athlon sports rankings and Michigan State being ranked 12. I'm going to save my reaction to lead tomorrow's show. Ian, you're shaking your head in disgust over there as we wrap up here. Why is that?
You know, man, how many times do we have to beat Michigan before we get a little respect in relation to Michigan? And how many times does Michigan have to not beat an over 500 team for them to drop a little bit in the rankings? I mean, we're going back to November of 2 years ago, the last time that they beat a team that was over 500. So I don't know, man. Maybe that's why they don't pay me the big bucks to make these lists. But it just seems a little fishy to me that Michigan's still ranked up so high.
It's just, I don't get it. It's nonsensical to me. I guess they're projecting, you know, Shea Patterson to be the next thing since Tom Brady. I don't know. And I'm not talking about Tom Brady when he was at Michigan. I'm talking about the Tom Brady we see right now, because I haven't seen much of Shea. And
Didn't we hear all this hype about Jabril Peppers and all these other players that came through Michigan under Jim Harbaugh?
Wilton Spate. Just talking about quarterback. Wilton Spate was supposed to be that guy, right? I mean, I'm going to tackle this tomorrow. Tune in. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. Again, much love to all of our listeners out there. We'll be back at it same time, same place. Again, have a great Tuesday. And as always, be easy, people.